Welcome to the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org. Enjoy the podcast.
Through the ages, the questions have been asked, how can we know the future? How to understand how we may plan for the future? And the promise of what God provides in our life is what he gives for us to be able to know and experience and live life today. In the experience of what God provides in your life, we can lean into the scripture and let scripture inform us, inspire us, and instruct us. The ways of God are known by the people of God. And God has created a way for us to tap into his presence and to know the heart of his will sufficiently for us to living today. Not so much that we're not required to be humble in his presence. And being humble is very much what the COVID-19 period has been for us. The experience of when Paul, the Apostle Paul, this terrorist who became a believer, whose life was transformed, became an apostle of peace and love in the Roman Empire, who wrote a fourth of the New Testament. It's one of the central figures in the books of Acts that we have been walking our way through to see how it was that first-generation Christians figured out how to live in a strange world. We live in a strange time today. And in the midst of that, we have a confidence that they figured it out then in the same ways of knowing God that we may know God today. And so the Apostle Paul traveled, and it is his journey, and it's what we call the second missionary journey, took him to the west side of Greece, a place called Corinth. He lived there for a year and a half, and among that setting, he dug roots of the gospel that just blossomed through that part of the world. Now, he knew that not far away, there was the Oracle of Delphi. It was a location that people could go to and pay money and see if the oracle, to see if one of those mysterious people at that temple could tell them the future of their life, to marry, not to marry, have children, not to have children, what about to do with work, is someone going to get well in the family or are they going to remain sick, what's the weather going to be like, when to plant the crops. Sound familiar? These are the questions that we've been asking through the course of our life because we're required to live in a harmony with God who is our creator, and we're humbled not to know everything about the future because it requires us to lean into him. But the problem was at the Oracle of Delphi, it was tapping into the wrong resource. And so Paul would write to them about the ways of knowing God, not perfectly here on earth, but to know God well enough that we can know what we need to do in the living of our days. And he laid it out very simply in 1 Corinthians 13:13. He says, now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. What Paul was writing then and for us today is that there are three eternals of God to know a pathway to understand the future by which we can live today. That's faith, that's a hope, and that's a love. Even in the midst of the most difficult circumstances, we can see that it takes us to the next place forward. 19 years ago, a whole generation of children had been born and graduated from high school when it was that the terror of 9/11 struck the Twin Towers and the Pentagon and the farmland of Pennsylvania. As you see the film clip now, you see that part unfolding in the background scenes of that world that now children, adults, formed and fashioned by the same kind of questions that we were all asking back then, what will the world look like? And so from the ashes, we grieved. From the ashes, we knew there was danger. From the ashes, we adjusted to the global reality. But in such a way that we as the people of faith could be able to set a tone that we would not be controlled by revenge or not controlled by fear, and that we would try to create a way in seeing these sights unfold of leaning all the more in God, who is the Prince of Peace in a troubled, warring world, how it is that we can do our part to shape the future. What you see in this film clip is a woman of faith living in New York City, who knew one thing that she could do is that she could take her faith into a work of art and walk it after riding the subway to the location of remembrance. And there she would place that work of art with the three eternals of God, faith, hope, and love. She didn't have any more clarity of exactly what the future world would look like, but she knew how she wanted that world to be shaped by the presence of what it is that God may accomplish. And so it is that God wants us to say no to the naysayers and to look straight into the despair and to be able to see the face of the resurrected Christ resurrecting hope in our life and for our world from the cross. That's the power of what God may do. And so in this way of looking into the future, the three basic guides for us are the FHL, the faith, hope, and love. There's a whole way of thinking about this, and it's called hermeneutics. It's a science of interpretation. It's how do you get all this data and information, and how do you make sense of it? How do you go about coming to conclusions? And so it is that when Christ said, come and follow me, and I will make you the fishers of people, he promised that he would give us the lead in our life by faith, which is a trust. It's being able to trust in God so that we may trust in ourselves. By hope, it's being able to see that there is a future in light of God, in light of the resurrection, in light of God conquering Calvary, so that whatever despairing moment hits in world history, for 6 months we've been asking in America this COVID-19 kind of questions and all the ripple effects that have occurred. How is it that we can heal the racial wounds that so desperately cry to be healed in a world? How do we ride a roller coaster economy? How do we open schools safely and now into the schools we go? How is it that we open up for in-person Sunday school on October 4th here on the Mulberry campus if the COVID-19 data continues to say that it's the right time to do it? All these are a matter of being able to see the future in light of God. Loving God with our mind to ask the right analytical question, but asking God first, am I trusting you, God? And please, Lord, make me a trustworthy person. Lord, am I seeing the future in light of my faith in you, or am I seeing the future in light of the fear that just creates a darkness? To be able to come with a love, and such a love that it's a yearning, it grows our capacity to take in God's experience. And to be able to put for us a passion and an intimacy and a commitment, a wonderment of God in our life. And from this, everything comes more clearly into view. It doesn't answer all the questions for sure. But remember, we're never meant to know all the questions being answered about the future. Jesus warned about that. He said, some things only the Father will know. Some things that you may know, but you must first really lean into me and trust me. You must love God with your mind and use your capacity to think about the future in a way of today. And what it is that God's wanting to bring down from heaven in his will. And what are the trends, not the fads, but what are the trends that are coming up from human nature? And how do we bring these together? Well, Paul worked at this. He worked at it in Corinth, and there was trouble in the land, and he was given the assurance by God in the midst of a vision. He said, Paul, you were stoned in Philippi, you were kicked out of Thessalonica, you were kicked out of Berea, you were threatened by the rods, but you have come to Corinth, and I promise you, you can stay here. Trust me, in a vision is one way that he knew out of a prayer experience. And so it gave him a confidence in a troubled time in Corinth. Corinth, it's in this land where people were proud of how much they had and how much they knew. And Corinth, where Paul would write to them about spiritual gifts, being humbly to use them in light of love, that we may shape the future in light of the spiritual gifts being used in love. And then he left Corinth and he went to the seaport of Cenchrea. And he wasn't sure, should he go west to Spain, Iberia, where he had also was curious to get to visit that land. But no, he went east. And he caught there in Cenchrea in a relationship of friendship and common servanthood with Phoebe, who was a deacon in the church in Rome. That the Christians in Rome had been dispersed because of their faith in Christ. But it enabled him to get to meet a Priscilla and Aquila, this husband and wife team, who were trying to figure out what to do with their tent-making trade. They had to leave Rome, forced to go to Corinth. They went with Paul. They got on the boat. They went to Ephesus. They continued to do their tent-making work. But they knew that something larger was going on in their ability to earn their livelihood. That there was a faith in Christ that met the hunger and the needs of people. And so Paul, deciding where to go next, went to Ephesus, which is across the Aegean Sea. And there he was briefly at a time to revisit a place where he had been before. But he knew that there was a sense of kind of God and faith, of trusting that God was saying, I need for you to go back to Jerusalem. I need for you to do a reconnection there. I have a vision for what it is that this gospel ministry can still unfold from your life, Paul. It's not over yet. And make sure that you're loving. Don't hold on to envy. Don't hold on to anger. Don't be rude. Don't be arrogant. Don't be boastful, Paul. Don't. These words that come out of 1 Corinthians 13 saying, before we can use any of the talents of our life that are worthy to shape the future, we must be humble before the Lord in light of love in the face of people. And so he took the boat and went to Caesarea. Caesarea, he got out of that famous port, went to Jerusalem. In Jerusalem, it's easy for me to picture how he returned to the tomb location of the resurrection of Christ. Again, to be in the midst of location and the power from the place about what we know to be the reality that shines God's light around the world. The reason we can know there's a tomorrow is because there was the resurrection. We can know that the sun rises in the east and sets in the west with the consistency of God's hope in the world, and that Christ gives meaning to it all, that the light shines in the darkness and the darkness could not put it out. What God provides for us is a way of knowing enough in our lives that we know that we may go forward in how we walk hand in hand with Him. How much of the future do we need to know? Well, we need to know enough to know that we're headed in the right direction. And we need to know what to do with that information that is available. Many executives will say that we can only have maybe 75% at best of the information before making a decision. Rare is the time when we get all 100%. But we take what is best in our analysis and best from the science and data and the research and all that stuff that's there available. We discern it. And then you take a Malcolm Gladwell in his book called Blink. And he says there still is a way to go down and of all that this reams of info, see what is the key information to be able to step into and to be able to trust. And that's again what shows up. Is that as people of faith, we do all the work that's described by, you know, the research world. But then we do it with a faith. So am I trusting God as I read through this, as I study this? Is my trust in God guiding me so that I can be trustworthy in the midst of this? Do I have a hope of seeing what God can make possible? If change is needed, then it's a God kind of change. If I'm to be a change agent, Lord, make me into that a change agent. But if it's the sense of staying the course, give me the capacity to stay the course, steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain, is how Paul concluded in Corinth his long chapter on the resurrection. That's what it all means. And love? How is it that in the midst of all of this wanting to know the future will enable me to love and to be able to love in a way that I won't be a noisy gong or clanging cymbal, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels. The way of love so that as I give my offering and even my life as a burnt sacrifice, it will profit me nothing unless I love. And that if I have the gift of prophecy and knowledge so as to understand mysteries or to move mountains, it serves no lasting purpose if it's not done in love. And then he says, we can only know in part now, on this side of this resurrection, on this side of death, we can only know in part, but we can know in part. We can only look like in a mirror dimly, being able to see the reflection of face to face. And the people in Corinth were famous in making mirrors, the best mirrors of the Roman Empire, to be able to get the clearest image. But even then, it was murky. But then, once this resurrection world has come to an end here, and we have stepped into the eternity of heaven, then it will all be made clear. But God wants us to trust Him, even if all we can see is this murky image. But we have enough light to be able to see His reflection of His glory shining through. But it won't shine through unless we are loving. And then it will. So all the gifts that were needed in this world, you have the gift of administration, the gift of teaching. You have the gift of evangelism, kindness, the generosity, the gift of your talents being used for God. That's how we put them in action and shape the future. But they only have the power to create a God kind of change in this world when they are activated by the power of love. I was so touched by Rosa Gutierrez, a person who's come to faith and powerful faith in Christ Jesus, the mother of Joe. And some of our recent conversation about Joe's future, and she posted this on Facebook, that Joe was started into a school experience, and she was just, you know, praying for him and for all the children to be able to form friends that will be good for them and the wisdom of God and the ways of God, to have influences that can shape them well. And how it is in the midst for Joe going into the eighth grade, the experience of his shaping a future which we can know a lot about today, not nearly so much about tomorrow, but the only way we can get to tomorrow is by trusting in God today, and that will be sufficient. I mean, you know it's true that today is yesterday's tomorrow. You got that? That means tomorrow will come, for today is yesterday's tomorrow, and that tomorrow then is a gift of God that we lean into, we may shape, because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So faith, hope, and love. Are you trusting God uniquely in these times? My prayer is that God is clear to you. You are trusting God more in September the 13th than you were on March the 13th. That in the midst of these 6 months, your dependence and awareness and your freedom and your faith in Him has grown so that you yourself have become more trustworthy. And that my prayer for you is that your sense of hoping for the future is for a vaccine, but not only for a vaccine. It is that we may be vaccinated from the sin that is the disease of humanity, of mistrust and disbelief, and of anger and hurt and hatred and opposition to the ways of God. To be able to have a hope to lean in, and that's what God's trying to do now. It's not that God caused the COVID-19, but He knows that these COVID-19s happen in the midst of world history, and He may turn them with a resurrection power into something glorious in the transformation of humanity if we indeed will love in Him with a yearning capacity of what He makes possible by being in His presence. By a commitment to Him that has roots that put us deep into the soil of His marvelous love, but enable us to branch and reach out like His arms from the cross. The kind of love that has an intimacy of leaning into His presence. That's why, again, when we connect ourselves, that each day give your heart to the Lord freshly. And with the prayers that, Lord, shape my heart today. Give your mind daily to the Lord. Help me in my thinking, Lord. Today I give you my way of thinking. Let your spirit be fully activated in the empowerment of the intimacy of God's presence by fully just absorbing His presence and your awareness. And let your bodies be dedicated to be of service for Him in our world. In the strange days of wearing masks, not being able to hug, give handshakes, but still there's the connection of our bodies in motion in light of His purposes, where radical and powerful kinds of service have unfolded. Faith to live today with a hope for the future shaped by love. We may have faith for today, faith in today for the future shaped by love. After all, isn't that what Jesus did? When He had told the disciples shortly before He met them in the upper room, and He broke the bread and gave the cup of wine of salvation. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. For you believe in Me. Let your fears then find their resting place in Me. And oh, your future, yes, I'm with you now. And I'm with you on the other side of death. It will be so expansive in God's wonder and adventure and presence. It's like a mansion without a end. Oh, Thomas, you don't understand. I get it. You want to know more, Thomas, about how to make sense of all this? I understand that. But here's what you need to know, Thomas. I am the way, I am the truth, and the life. That as you walk in My ways that I've been teaching you, my relationship with you, then you may experience the the validity. You may experience the proof. You may experience the evidence of everything I've taught you and that I am with you. Two or three gathered in my name, I'm in your midst with you. And this love, well, as I've loved you, Thomas, as I've loved you and you and you and you and you right there in your home, as I love you, so you may love other people. That's how you shape a future. And through that shaping, God's glory and wonder wins the day. What we see, it's how it was that Christ took the bread. He blessed it and broke it. And in doing so, he shared it. And isn't it a different way in which we celebrate communion today with your container? The power of how all this comes together. And Sadie, I'm going to ask if you come join me for a moment. Several people have been waiting for that right time when we can begin to baptize again in the celebration. And Sadie's will be on Sunday, October the 4th. She's standing here because this Sunday she shared with me how excited she was that this is her first communion Sunday as a believer. And that she understands the power of what this means, coming in with a humility and a joy and a confidence. And Sadie, we are grateful that you understand it in a way that you helped us shape the future by how you're trusting in Christ today. Amen. Thank you. If you have your container, you may go ahead and open the top part where you'll see the wafer. If you don't have one, raise your hand and someone will bring it to you. Then Jesus, in the upper room, took that bread and he blessed it. And he gave it, and he said, "Take this in remembrance of me." With the bread having been served, identifying it as his presence on the cross, the resurrected presence that would be evidence of God's power over death, he then poured into a common cup. Now the blood of the covenant, the sign from the first Passover to now and forevermore, is a sign of the forgiveness of sin being passed over through the forgiveness of what he has provided in his life, death, and resurrection. And then he looked at each one as the cup was passed, and he said, "Therefore, drink in remembrance of me." Oh Lord, we're grateful. The one that you are with us now in your dynamic presence and wonder, quietly, dynamically. And that you come in a sense of symbols that represent your living presence. Be with us as we trust in you to shape a future for how we may be people of hope through the power of love. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed your segment of the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org.